Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. Do you have tons of lesson plans you've accumulated but are struggling with keeping everything organized? Of course you do, because you've been to so many different professional development opportunities, have bought resources, and already have online and in-person curriculum that you use. It is so tough keeping everything organized and knowing what to pull from to teach and when to do it. So join me on Monday, July 5th for the Organizing Your Lesson Plans workshop. In this workshop, you'll learn how to organize your lesson plans so it's easier to find what to teach and when. If you can't make it live, still sign up so you can receive the replay. Click on the link in the show notes or head to subscribepage.com/organizing lesson plans to sign up. I cannot wait to see you there, friend. So today I want to talk about a simple way to keep your lesson plans organized. Now, I have a workshop coming up on July 5th that will go way into more detail about what I'm going to talk about today. I'm kind of taking one of the things I'm talking about in that workshop, which will include four topics, and I wanted to pick one of the categories that will be easy to digest and implement right away. Some of this you've probably already done or you're doing, and hopefully maybe there are new things you're going to hear that you can implement as well. So if you have been teaching even for 1 year or 20 years, it doesn't matter how many years, pick a number out of the bucket, you've probably already accumulated tons of lesson plans, resources from workshops and professional development opportunities, online, in person. You're always given free samples of things to read through or whatever it might be, a levels course. And all those materials and resources are great, but I know that it gets a little overwhelming when you're like, well, wait a minute, all this is awesome, but what am I supposed to do with all this stuff? How am I supposed to keep track of what to teach and when to teach it and how to know when to pull from whatever? That's exactly what it was like for me in my situation, which I've shared before, but I walked into a classroom that did not have any teaching resources except for an old set of textbooks I found deep inside of this closet. I don't even know if you can call it a closet, but it was the former drama room. That classroom itself had been sitting empty for 7 years. So I found them buried deep under all these drama clothes and I went, all right, this is all I have to use. Then I slowly started accumulating more things at resources and all the places I just mentioned. And I thought, this is so cool. I have so many things to pull from. But then I noticed the more stuff I got, it was all amazing stuff. I got so overwhelmed because I'm like, I can't teach from all this stuff in one school year. It's not possible. So maybe you can relate to that. And if so, then that's what I want to kind of touch on today. So, like I said, all this stuff is great, but if you don't know how to keep track of it or what to do with it, then what's the point? So let's talk about one simple way to keep your lesson plans organized. So I want, like I said, this to be simple action steps you can take as you're planning this summer. But come to that workshop I mentioned. I'll go way deeper into this topic as well. Okay, so step one. The first step, and exactly what I did, is look at your curriculum map. Now, this will look different for everyone. Your particular school or district may provide a curriculum map. If so, awesome. You may be using, there's so many amazing online curriculums now, you know which ones they are, that provide curriculum maps. Teachers Pay Teachers has curriculum maps. That can get overwhelming in itself because all of them have a little bit of different, you know, sequence and scope and sequence to it. But I would say kind of look around and decide which one you want to use. It's okay to combine a couple, but don't let it overwhelm you. Keeping it simple is the name of the game. So find your curriculum map as the first step. And then the reason why this is the first step is because having a sequence to follow will help you to know what to plan and when. And you're probably like, well, what does this have to do with organizing my lesson plans? We're going to get there. Stay with me. I promise I'm going somewhere. All right. But I wanted to bring that up first because that's the first step in organizing your lesson plans, because you got to have kind of a roadmap of what to follow. So have that ready. That's the very first step. And let's move on to step two, which is map out what you're going to be teaching each 9 weeks. Like I said, you may already be doing this. You've probably already done a lot of this. So some of this is just review. But what I mean by that is map up, when you look at your curriculum map, then you're going to say, you maybe don't know what lessons you're going to teach yet, but when I say map out what you're going to be teaching each 9 weeks, you can look at this full curriculum map and then say, all right, I'm going to break it down per 9 weeks now of what topic area, content area I'm going to be teaching and focusing on. What objectives am I going to be teaching to my students? So look at your curriculum map, and then you'll be able to make a plan for what to do, what you're wanting to teach each 9 weeks. Step three, and this is the third step, go through your resources. This is when you actually start going through your resources and materials. You know, the ones that I will never forget sitting on my floor in my living room, scattering out all my stuff and going, that's it. I'm making a plan. I'm going to know what to teach, what to pull from what, and make a list and all the things. And that's exactly what I did. You don't need to get as dramatic as me. But go through your resources and materials to find lessons specific to what you're wanting to teach. You have that roadmap, that curriculum map. That's your scope and sequence, right? And then you're going to know what content, what objectives you're teaching each 9 weeks. Then it's just about kind of like filling it in with the stuff. Now, you're like, well, I have a lot of resources and materials. Yes, of course you do. But the goal is to find content to teach your students based on what they need and what you want to teach. And also, I want to say to keep in mind that you won't be able to get through everything. And that's okay. I just kind of felt like, well, if I have all this stuff, I need to use it. I don't want it to just sit on a shelf. I have to pull at least one thing from each book. Then I got to the point where I'm like, why am I doing that? What is the point? Like, why am I letting myself get so stressed out? So then you can look at the resources right now before school even starts next school year. Look at what you already have. And then when you go to in-person workshops or while you're looking at wherever you look to get your resources and teaching materials, you'll know what you need. You're going to know, do I really need this Boomwhacker book? Do I really need another one? Do I really need another book about drumming, or do I already have some really good books I can pull from? You'll know what you need, and then you'll know, okay, maybe I like this drumming book, but maybe I want another one that I can pull just a couple more activities. I feel like I just need some more stuff. So looking at what you have, that's really going to help you to know what you need and how to move forward. So let's move right into how to organize it. Step four. Now that you know what you're wanting to teach throughout the school year, you're going to want to keep lessons of similar content together. How do you do this? That's up to you. Maybe you are all virtual. Maybe, well, teaching, but also with planning. Maybe you're this virtual planner. You like to keep everything organized on your computer, whether it's Google Docs, whether you use a certain website, whatever. It doesn't matter what the thing is, but maybe you want to organize it on, you know, in your computer. But maybe you want to organize it in binders. Maybe you want to go old school, which is the way I like paper stuff. But maybe you want to do it that way. Maybe you're handed, like I said, papers at workshops and you're like, well, what do I do with this? If you already have binders going that are organized by content matter, where I'm going to just throw one out, Steady Beat. So maybe in your binder, you want to keep all the lessons together to teach Steady Beat. Right there in that binder, maybe you have it color tabbed, maybe you have it divided by a manila divider, whatever. I don't care how you do it. But right there, you're going to keep all the lessons together. That's your like just paper handout one. Of course, you can't rip pages out of books and resources, okay? So we're going to talk about how to track that. But if you have just some random handouts and random lessons you're printing out from wherever, keep them organized by content matter inside of binders. Then when you look at that curriculum map, you have it kind of sectioned out by what you're teaching each 9 weeks. You're going to say, all right, well, steady beat is going to be the first 9 weeks. So I'm going to put that towards the beginning of this binder. So when I'm looking at lesson plans to pull from to teach steady beat, they're right there at the beginning. You could even label it right there and say first 9 weeks or just first, so you know when to pull it and when you need to get to that content. So how you organize your lesson plans is completely up to you. So if you're looking for lesson plans for rhythm counting, for example, look, you can organize them in a binder. But another thing I wanted to say is keep a running list. Okay, so you have a binder. Now let's talk about what to do, like I mentioned earlier, with the resources you have from actual books or actual, like you have an online curriculum you're using, and you're like, well, I can't like print it all out and put everything in a binder. Of course you can't. So what I want you to do with that, this is something that's so simple, but when I did this, it was like, why didn't I do this the first year of teaching? I don't know. Because we're overwhelmed as first year teachers, right? Let's be honest. So just open a Google Doc. It's that simple. And what I want you to do there is outline, looking at the curriculum map, looking at what you want to teach each 9 weeks, and then organize that down a Google Doc by content matter, by objectives you're teaching. And you're going to fill in under that lessons that you want to pull from various resources under that list. You can get fancy. You can make a Google Sheet. You can, whatever. You can use all the fancy technology, but I want you to just keep it simple. We're not going to focus on making it super fancy. Just keep it simple. So you're going to open this Google Doc. We're going to go back to Steady Beat because that's just on my brain for some reason. Steady Beat. And you found some lessons you printed. So you can even put in the binder lesson plans, blah, 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 blah. Then, okay, I have this particular resources right here. On Quaver, I want to use these study beat activities. Music Play, I want to use these study beat activities, whatever. And so then you have this list going. So then when you're like, all right, I want to focus on steady beat with my kindergartners, what am I going to pull from? And then instead of going, oh my gosh, I got to spend all this time looking for this stuff, it's right there, it's listed out. Now, here's the next thing I want to say. You will not be able to get to every single steady beat activity. There's so much amazingness out there, so much you can pull from and teach from, but it's just not possible. So just start somewhere. Look at that list you have and say, all right, now I need to narrow it down. I may not be able to pull from every resource I have, but I'm going to focus on three steady beat activities. Maybe it's five, maybe it's one, I don't care. But you're going to make a decision knowing your students, your teaching style, what you're wanting to do, of how many lessons you're wanting to pull from that list you have. And then just put like an asterisk by it, bold it, change the color on that lesson. So when it comes time to actually lesson planning, boom, you already have the songs picked out, you're ready to go. All right. Okay, so let's move forward. The next thing I want to say is make it easy for yourself to find things. So, like I said, you decide what works for you. Do you want to do some binders to keep things organized? Do you want to keep everything organized just by a list? And maybe you just have those paper resources. I don't know. You have them organized a different way. Do what works for you, just so you know how to find lessons and how to. And number five, giving you five strategies today, five steps, is then after you have, let's go through it again, curriculum map, looking at what to teach each 9 weeks. Step three is to go through the lesson plans and resources, really know what's in each thing so you kind of have an idea. And honestly, sometimes you'll find the same songs in a lot of different resources. You probably already do, have seen that. A lot of times it's just presented in different ways to say, I love this song, but I like the way this resource presented it and not so much this one. But also be okay with putting your own spin on things, which is a whole nother topic for another day. So step three is go through your actual resources and material so you know what you have and what's in the books. Step four is to know what you're wanting to teach throughout the school year and keep a running list. And then binders, organize things by binders, by content area. And step five, you're gonna now organize content by grade level. All right. So I'm just gonna keep going with this theme because I'm stuck on steady beat. When we're talking about steady beat, and let's go back to that binder, for example, and then we'll talk about the list. when you're in that binder and you've organized, you're putting steady beat activities at the beginning of the binder because you know that's going to be at the first 9 weeks. Now I want you to organize it by grade level. Say, all right, well, I want to put obviously what I'm doing with the lower elementary at the beginning and upper elementary towards the back. And then you'll be able to, you can divide that too by using color tabs or however you want to do that. On your list you made, same thing, say lower elementary, or you can even divide it by grade level, kinder, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or you can even, like I said, just say lower, which is how I've done it, lower, upper. And then from there, I'll kind of put it in order without saying it's kinder, first, second, or whatever, and just kind of put it that way so I know if it's towards the bottom, it's second grade, if it's in the middle, it's first, and if it's at the top, it's kinder. And so you're going to organize it by grade level to keep it organized that way as well. And you're probably like, oh my God, you just gave me 400 steps. I'm so overwhelmed. This is not as overwhelming as I promise it sounds. And I know I talk fast, but re-listen to this, re-watch this as many times as you need to, because I promise you it is a little bit of work up front. But once you set up your system and you have a way to find lesson plans and know how to pull from what and where to find the stuff you need, and you have a list of songs you want to teach from, you know, when you're teaching it throughout the school year, then it just kind of all flows. And then it's like easy to just kind of plug and play. And then it's like, all right, well, I need an activity to reinforce rhythm counting. What am I going to be using? Oh, wait, I have a list. Let me look there and see what exactly my students need, because now I've met my students. I know what they need from me. I know what I need to be able to teach them. I know how to reach these students. And now I'll know what activity will be great to present that to them. So that was a lot. But like I said, I'm going to be going into a lot more detail about this, like a lot. I worked on my slides this week for actually, to be honest with you, and I promise, like, this exactly what I talked about plus a lot more is going to be talked about. So we're going to talk about this in the Organizing Your Lesson Plans workshop. It's on Monday, July 5th, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central. We'll talk about more ways to keep your lesson plans organized, where to put everything, and ways to not get overwhelmed in a lot more detail than we did today. If you cannot make it live, still register, because you will be sent the replay to watch on your own time. So go to subscribepage.com/organizing lesson plans to sign up. Or if you're listening to this on the podcast, it will be in the show notes as well. Have a great rest of your day, friends, and I will see you soon. Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there, where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.